So we're continuing a series that we started last Sunday called Spiritual Maturity, Growing in Spiritual Maturity. And last week we introduced it, an understanding that growing in spiritual maturity is becoming like Christ, growing to be like Christ. And today I want to talk with you about living out your divine nature. Living out your divine nature. Now I know that sounds a little churchy, but there's a reason for it being said that way. God is divine. Amen. And He makes you divine. You know, squirrels 5,000 years ago were doing the same things they're doing today. Hiding their nuts, storing up for the winter. Lions, tigers, bears, living the same life 5,000 years ago that they live today. But humans are different. We have airplanes. Now we get to soar like the birds. We have all kinds of things that we've progressed. We have plumbing. It's a wonderful thing. We have a lot of things. We have mattresses. We have beds. Aren't they wonderful? We do things just so that we can say we're willing to take a risk. We're impressionable people. We grow, we learn, we progress. We'll jump out of airplanes just to say we did, right, Sandy? Y'all need to talk to Sandy about that. We climb mountains. We drive fast. We just want to feel alive. The body of flesh, though, this body of flesh wants something. It's craving for something to live for that's worth dying for. And that's what your flesh wants. The body craves for things, though, that destroy. Is it just mind that craves for things that destroy? No. You guys want some tasty cakes, too, don't you? You see, that's what your flesh wants. But you are more than flesh. You're way more than flesh. If you've accepted Christ into your life, you're way more than just flesh. You have entered into a relationship with God, and that gives you a divine body. That gives you a body alive inside of you that you can't see, but it is far more real than this tangible body that you've got. It's more real than that. Inside of you is an entirely new you, a divine you. When you accept Christ into your life, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Paul wrote this. He said, now if anyone is enfolded into Christ, I love this translation. It's a new translation out. It's the Passion Translation. He says, your new life is enfolded in Christ. If anyone is there, that means like in a deep relationship with Christ. He has become an entirely new person. So when you come into Christ, you become an entirely new person. Everything you did, God has washed away. Washed away. That's awesome. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. Now, I know some of you should be really jumping up and screaming, thank you, Jesus, to that. The old order has vanished. Everything is fresh and new. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to Himself and given us the ministry of reconciling others to God. And that's why the church is here, so that we can help people be reconciled with God and grow in a relationship with Him, right? So here's the point. You have a divine nature. There is another you inside of you that is way more real than this you. Should I say that again? There's another you inside of you that is way more than just this real you, this body that you see here. And it's way more there. The nature, this nature is far more than you could ever imagine. And the question is this. Are you allowing your new nature, the new you, to shine through this body of sin and death, the old you? Is the new you shining through? Growing in spiritual maturity is letting that new you shine through. And when we talk about spiritual maturity, this is what we're talking about. You feeding, you nurturing, you exercising the divine body that's inside of you. And here's the question. Can we see the divine you? Is that what we're getting? Have you made the switch from living as a slave to your flesh to living your divine God-given freedom? The new you. Have you made that switch? Paul gives us the how-to, and we just need to practice it. And if you practice this, you're going to see it work. I have a lot of guys that talk with me about what's going on in their lives, the sin that they struggle with, and they're frustrated. They don't want to do this stuff. I mean, it's Romans chapter 7, if you want to go and read the struggle that the Apostle Paul had. He was like, man, the things that I know I shouldn't do, I keep doing. The things that I know I should do, I don't get onto those things. I don't do those things. And I'm so frustrated with my life in Christ because I'm not doing it. But then Paul writes us and says, here's what we do. Let me emphasize this, he says. And this, so Paul found something here. He says, as you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. He's saying the flesh. As you yield to the dynamic life, listen how he describes it here, and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. When your self-life, when your flesh craves those things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. All right, what is he saying? He's saying if you want God's Spirit to live free within you, don't do things that offend him. The self-life, your flesh, craves certain things and it offends God's Spirit. Have you ever been to somebody's home and you weren't welcome in every room? They have the right to keep those boundaries in their home, right? But then have you ever been to someone's home and they're like, hey, welcome home. You're free to roam. Enjoy yourself. So you go into this home and you just feel free to roam. You feel like you're at home. Can you imagine trying to live in a place for many, many years? So he says, when yourself craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. This is how we let God into every area. That's frustrating. All right. This is how we let God into every area of our lives. And then he says, the Holy Spirit's intense cravings. Now, you and I have probably only thought about the cravings of the flesh. What do we crave for? Tacos, says the pregnant lady. Pepsi. What'd you say, Dad? Fried chicken. Dad always knows the fried chicken deals that are going on around town. The intense, okay, so we know what craving of the flesh is, and we crave for a lot of stuff that are unmentionable here, right? And he says, the Holy Spirit has intense cravings, and these intense cravings that God has from within you hinder your self-life from dominating you. He says, when God's Spirit inside of you is craving something and you begin to activate those cravings and do something about those cravings that the Spirit of God has inside of you, it keeps your flesh, your self-life, from dominating you. You want to know how to overcome stuff in your life? This is how. You begin to let the cravings of God's Spirit inside of you begin to be flourished and nourished, and you take care of what God is doing inside of you, and then you're going to overcome the stuff that you haven't been able to overcome all your life. Oh, come on, that's huge. It's awesome. So then, the two incompatible, the flesh and the Spirit inside of you, and conflicting forces within you, are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. But when you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. Remember, we talked last week about, okay, we got the base things taken care of. God wants us to grow and be up here. God wants us to soar way above all of this stuff that's just normal. He says, all right, settle it, your faith, settle it. These are the things that are right and wrong in our lives. Settle those things, deal with that, and now it's time for you to grow into spiritual maturity. I want you to soar. I want you to do great things. So then he goes into a list, just in case the people weren't getting it. He says, all right, so, okay, we're going to get through this sermon. Y'all with me? Okay. He says, all right, so just in case you guys weren't sure, here are the things that need, you know, these are the obvious things. We're all going to agree on these things, that these are problems, all right? Remember last week, we're going to agree that these are things that offend God. These are things that have God has a problem with, all right? He says, the behavior of the self-life, of the flesh, is obvious. Sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessing of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all the other similar behavior, right? So you guys, he's like, all right, this is just, I shouldn't even have to say this. He says, these are the things and others that we just should agree on. Okay, this stuff we decide, that's not healthy living, that's not good, that's not what God wants. These things offend God's Spirit inside of me, and I'm going to grow bigger and better and beyond those things. He's saying not to focus on those things, but focus on doing the things, and we'll get to this, love. It's way better to try to go after something than to just quit, grit your teeth trying not to stop or trying to stop doing things. So he says, haven't I always already warned you that those who use their freedom, he's talking about freedom in Christ, for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God. It's a pretty powerful statement. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit, and we read this last week. I'm going to read this translation. It's a little bit different translation. The fruit of the Spirit is divine love. It's kind of interesting how this translation puts all these others under love as though these are expressions of love. He says, in all its varied expressions, joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. He says, there's no law against these things. These are wonderful things that God's Spirit wants to have in you. These are the things that we want you to participate in. So inside of each of us are these spiritual cravings. Cravings of the divine nature and cravings of the flesh. These are two spiritual struggles that are going on inside of us. One is negative, one is positive. Y'all remember the old Tom and Jerry where the devil and the angel would be on their shoulders? You know, that's pretty much what's going on inside of us. And it's a war that is happening inside of us. But here's the promise. When you give in to the cravings of the divine nature, here's the promise. The Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. When you give in to the divine nature and you begin to do the things that God's Spirit craves, all of that other stuff just kind of dissipates. That's freeing. Think about the amazing fate-filled night in the Garden of Gethsemane. I call it the Battle of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John, they were there with Jesus, weren't they? And Jesus, being the most spiritually mature human that ever walked this planet, walks into the garden and he tells the guys, stay here. And this is what they reported about him. Mark wrote this. He began to be deeply distressed and troubled. So here's the most spiritually mature human being that has ever lived on planet Earth. He's God, living 100% human and 100% God at the same time. The most spiritually mature person on planet Earth, and he was deeply troubled and distressed. That says a lot, doesn't it? And listen to the words of Jesus here. He says to the guys, "My soul is overwhelmed." You ever felt overwhelmed? Kind of feeling it these days, aren't we? "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." So here he is, very spiritually mature, as mature as we could possibly get as a human being. And he says, "I'm overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of dying right now. Stay here and keep watch." Keep watch over what? Well, Jesus knew that Judas and the Jews were going to be coming. So he was like, "Hey, maybe you guys could give me a heads up when they get here, okay?" I don't know about you, but when I'm praying, I like to know if someone's going to sneak in on me. And so Jesus goes over and he sits, and it actually doesn't say he sat down. It says he fell to the ground and he prayed that if possible, this hour might pass from him. You see, this struggle between Jesus' flesh and Jesus' spirit, his divinity in this moment is probably one of the most amazing moments in the history of humankind, the history of eternity. This is where the battle took place, the Battle of Gethsemane. Right here, this, what took place inside of Jesus at this time is probably way bigger than the Battle of Armageddon. The battle of the spirit versus the flesh. Okay, got over this on Friday. That stupid residual cough. All right. Then he returned to his disciples. So Jesus is over there praying. And the scripture says, he's so intense that there's like sweat blood, drops of blood coming from him. And he returns to his disciples and he finds them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for an hour? Watch and pray." He's like, "Okay, well, if watching won't keep you awake, maybe if you pray, pray while you're sitting there so that you won't fall into temptation." And then he says, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were too heavy. They didn't know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting?" Now, this is. I don't know if you pay attention much when you're reading scripture to exclamation marks, but Jesus was pretty intense here. You know, these guys, they're like, it's like Christmas night. You know, I mean, this was a celebration that they had just had. They just ate a full meal, and they're like, "Okay, Jesus wants to go out and pray. Let's go to the garden and we'll hang out with him." They weren't thinking that Jesus was going to be crucified tomorrow. These guys, they were full of food and they were tired and they'd fallen asleep. And Jesus comes over and he's like, "This is a life-changing moment right here." And he says, "Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." And you can imagine these guys are just trying to wake up. What? You see, their flesh was weak. And this is Jesus being the greatest example of living out the divine nature. And that's what we want to move towards. Living a spiritual life in the divine nature. It's interesting that Jesus did not say, "The spirit is willing, pray so that you're not tempted. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is too strong." Jesus didn't say that. He said, "You're going to be tempted. The spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak." What is he saying? He's saying, if you will begin to let your spirit inside become strong, your flesh is going to become strong for the Lord as well. Oh man, that's huge. How many of you struggle with the flesh? All of us do. He's saying, if you will begin to let your spirit become strong, live in your divine nature, then your flesh is going to be strong as well, and you're not going to be dealing with temptation the way that you're dealing with temptation for the rest of your life. You can let these things be settled and mature beyond that. You can say, all right, all this stuff, the stuff that he just listed here and more, all of that is settled. I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to live for Jesus, and I'm going to do right in my life. I'm going to live a better life. So here's where it gets hard. Growth begins when you find out that you're doing something wrong. What do you do when you find out you're doing something wrong? Well, a lot of times, this is why people don't grow, a lot of times we shoot the messenger, right? When someone tells us we're doing something wrong, well, we just fire right back to the messenger. What makes you think you have the right to tell me that? Right? We kill the messenger instead of learning and growing. Listen, to grow, you have to be confronted. And sometimes if you don't confront yourself, sometimes you get broadsided by somebody else or you get broadsided by truth. Life happens, consequences happen. Anytime we're doing stuff that is going to destroy, life is going to hit us at some point, right? And sometimes truth comes in and just wham, and you have to pick yourself up and you say, wow, I need to learn why this happened this way. I need to learn from this, as opposed to just getting angry that truth happened, angry that something happened because of it. But to revise yourself is extremely painful, isn't it? Especially if it's some sort of an addiction that you're dealing with in your life. But coming to a place in your life that you grow spiritually means that you take ownership of your responsibility to grow your divine nature inside of you. And that means embracing truth. Embracing truth. And here's the beauty of God. God doesn't want you to grow like a weed. He wants you to grow like a tree. And what's the difference? A weed grows overnight, doesn't it? But a tree, it takes many, many years. And with that expectation, there's grace and there's room for you to grow. You say, well, John, I've been a Christian, and man, when you read that list earlier, I'm struggling with some of those things, and I'm wondering, what does that mean? If I died right now, listen, if you believe in Christ and you've accepted Christ into your life, you can trust that as you're growing in that relationship, that his grace is sufficient for all of your sin. Amen? But knowing that he expects you to grow over a long period of time, and that as you grow and develop the Spirit of God inside of you, that these things are going to be left behind. So here are three key questions. Where are you? Where are you? Ask yourself this. Where am I? What is okay about me? What is working in my life? What is not working in my life? And listen, ignorance and willful blindness keep us from knowing. You can know the things that can change, the things that need to change, things that need to grow. You can know those things. And just be honest with yourself. Answer this question. Where am I? Where am I? Secondly, where are you going? Stop and think about where are you going? What's your plan? Do you plan to grow spiritually? Do you plan to have a better life? Where are you going? Thinking about where you are and where you want to go is necessary for you to progress. Now, if today you're struggling to forgive someone, that's where you are. Admit it. Confess it. I'm struggling to forgive this person. Well, let me ask you a question then. Where do you want to go? Do you want to grow beyond that? Or do you want to let this person keep you chained for the rest of your life because of what they did some years ago? You don't want that. They're controlling your life. So what do you have to do? You've got to forgive. So where are you today? Where do you need to go? I want to head towards forgiveness. You see, when you choose to forgive somebody, that is using your divine nature. What is it? It's human to err, but to forgive is divine. It is so true. I talk to a lot of believers. And so many people, that I talk to have forgiven the people in their lives that have hurt them so badly throughout their lives. So many of our, I mean, this is what you guys have done. We've forgiven people that have abused, that have used, that have maligned, that have molested, that have cheated on, that have stolen from. We've forgiven people, and that's living the divine nature. And here's the third question. How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? Here's a rule of thumb. Start with what can change now. Start easy. Start with what can change now. Just go there. I walked into the kitchen the other night, and I looked around, and I was like, man, this place is cluttered. You know, Angela's down, and it's amazing when this whole process first started, I would come home from work, and things would be where I left them. I'm a slob, I guess. And when I walked in the kitchen the other night, I looked around and I was like, man, these kids should be helping do something. And I looked a little bit closer and I started itemizing what was, all of it was mine. I was like, well, maybe I know where to start now. I didn't need anyone to start for me. I didn't need to wait for anybody to fix anything for me. I just needed to take care of my responsibility. And our spiritual lives are the same. What can you start with today? And I got a feeling that you'll look around, you'll think, well, someone else made this mess in my life. Someone else caused this. Someone else made me feel this way. Or someone else is keeping me from growing and spiritually and or forgiving somebody. And we have all these other people that we could possibly blame and hope that they'll come in and fix for us. But really stop and say, what can I do? Where can I start? So before we go today, I want to introduce just a couple more minutes you to some steps of spiritual growth. These are what we're going to be talking about in the coming weeks. The Apostle Peter wrote his second letter to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith. That means believers, right? And he says this is so powerful. His divine, there's that word, divine power, has given us everything we need for a godly life. Let that sink in. He has given us everything we need to live a godly life. What is a godly life? Spiritual maturity. Right? Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them, you may participate in the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption and the world caused by evil desires. So, Peter says, the corruption in the world, we've got about as corrupt of a world as we've ever seen right now, don't we? The corruption in the world is caused by evil desires. Whose evil desires? People. It's not the animals. They're still out hiding their nuts for the winter and stuff that they've done for thousands of years. But the corruption of human hearts is what we see, the corruption of the world. So we're called as His people to live above that. And we're called to grow in spiritual maturity. Then He gives us this. This is the ladder that He gives us. Then He gives us this ladder to spiritual maturity. He says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection or kindness, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them will be nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. So look at the progression here. You've got the base level, faith. Remember we talked about that last week. Let's settle that. That's faith. We've got that. Goodness is the next level up. All right, those are the things that we just talked about. Goodness, let's settle what good is. Let's settle what good and evil are. And we live in a community today, in a society today that's calling good evil and evil good, right? So, let's settle those things. It's the divine nature of God wants to operate in us to spiritual maturity. And you begin with the most basic thing, the most basic part of your life in Christ is faith. And then you begin to add to that all the way up the ladder. Remember last week we talked about this passage. We must try to become mature and start thinking about more than just the basic things we were taught about Christ. We shouldn't need to keep talking about why we ought to turn from deeds that bring to death. We shouldn't need to keep talking about that and why we ought to have faith in God. And we shouldn't need to keep talking about baptisms. And he just goes on. He's like, it's time to grow. Time to grow. Here's the point. Some people just accept Christ and they stop there. They stop there. They never grow. It's time to grow. It's time to go to the next rung on the ladder. Truly loving at all times is Jesus. Love is at the top. Knowing what love is, that's where we're headed. Spiritual maturity is growing to be like Jesus. Okay, we're going to wrap it up here. Is spiritual maturity coming to prayer service? And Deb, would you come? Is spiritual maturity coming to a prayer service and dancing around like an Indian and pointing your finger at people and telling them, prophesying to them and all of that? Is that spiritual maturity? A person could be spiritually mature, but that's not spiritual maturity. It's way bigger than that. I was at a church on staff, and there was a sweet elderly lady. Her name was Sister Loveless. And she would come throughout the week, and she would walk the sanctuary and pray. Not a set time or anything. She just would come and she'd pray. And sometimes when Sister Loveless would come to pray, we would be working on something in the sanctuary. And she would realize that it wasn't a good time. And I got to thinking about that later. You know, she could have been one of those people that walks in and really just says, guys, it's prayer time. I have come. And I'm going to walk the sanctuary, and you guys need to come and pray with me. I mean, she could have been a person like that that just, you know, made you look down on you spiritually and made you feel like, oh, okay. She could have been that high and mighty, demanding her time to pray and acting like we weren't spiritual because we weren't going to join her. But no, instead, she just quietly and unobtrusively would walk the rest of the building and pray while we were doing what needed to be done. Just kind and loving. Every time she saw me, she was so kind. Just, John, I'm praying for you. She's probably the most spiritually mature person I've ever met. And one Sunday morning, during the worship service, the Lord spoke to her and told her to go over to this specific young man that was sitting across the aisle in front of her because he had a gun. And God told her to tell him, God loves you. Don't do what you're about to do. well, this little, I mean, she's a little frail lady, boldly walks up to this young man, and as she did see, as he turned to see who was coming, that he did have a gun. And she walked up to him and she said, "Son, God loves you, and what you're about to do, don't do it. Can I pray with you?" And she did. She told me about it after service. I called the police and I said, "Guys, we got a situation here. I need you to do a welfare check." They got back with me and they couldn't find him. Monday, they couldn't find him. Thursday, and I tried to call him the last known number that I had. Thursday, I saw him on the news, suicide by cop up in Tulsa. And I think, wow, what if Sister Lovelace had not been there that day? What if she wasn't there? She was operating in the divine nature. I only wish her name was Love More instead of Love Less, because she certainly deserved that. So here's where we started last week. Hopefully you did this. Throughout the day, each and every day, we were to remind ourselves, this world is entirely about growing to maturity in a relationship with God and others, growing to be like Jesus. Did you remember that throughout this week? That means everything that happened this week, good and bad, all of it is connected to you growing to be in a relationship with Christ. So, this week, this is what we're going to focus on. Begin operating in your divine nature. Let the Spirit of God, the alive you inside of you, the Spirit alive inside of you, let God's Spirit, let your Spirit, who you are, the real you, let that life come alive in a way like you've never had before. Not giving in to what this flesh wants, but giving in to what God's Spirit is craving. Crave the Word of God. Go online, listen to some of our sermons or someone else that you can trust. Listen, feed your spirit, grow spiritually. Ask God, is there some place I need to go today? Is there someone I need to reach out to today? Do something to build the divine nature inside of you. Don't let your body of sin and death tell you where to go and what to do. Let God's Spirit do that. So here's the ladder that Peter gave us. And I want you to, if you haven't taken a picture of it yet, you can take a picture of it or I can email it to you, whatever you need. But take a picture at this ladder. This is what we're going to begin to work on. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to look and see where you think you are on this ladder. What level are you at? Have you just accepted Christ and said, "Okay, I've got faith. At least I get to go to heaven. That's it." Have you started to live a good life, a better life, to call good good? Have you started learning about who Christ is and just starting to understand and getting some knowledge there? Have you started exemplifying some self-control like we're talking about? And have you added to that some perseverance? Okay, I'm in this for the long haul no matter what happens. And godliness, people looking at you going, "Hey, that's a godly way of acting." What level are you at? Where are you at in this? And what I want to challenge you with is let's start working towards the next level. So let's pray. Father, we ask you for your help today to go to the next rung. We want to grow. We want to be better in our relationship with you. And we thank you for the opportunity. Let your Spirit come alive inside of us and let us sense the cravings of the Holy Spirit inside of us. A crave to know and to grow. A crave to be better, to be stronger, to be healthier spiritually. And God, let it emanate into our bodies, our physical bodies, that our flesh would become strong. We thank you and believe you for it. Maybe you're here today and you need to accept Christ. You want to. This is an invitation. God wants to have a relationship with you, and he's saying, hey, I'm here. I'm knocking on the door of your heart. And I want to come in. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to heal you and make you strong spiritually. I have a great future for you if you'll trust me. It's an adventure. Sure, it's difficult. Sure, there's change that has to happen. But it's because you love me. It's because you choose to love me. And if you say today, yes, God, I want to get to know who you are, what you like and what you don't like, and I accept you into my life, just do that right now. God, thank you so much for hearing our prayers. We trust you and believe you today. In Jesus' name, thank you for coming into our lives. We love you. In Jesus' name. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here today and you accepted Christ into your life this morning, just so that you've got some kind of verification with it, I just want you to look up at me until my eyes catch yours. Okay? All right. Anybody else? All right.